Welcome to Flanatomy. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Flanagan, where we dive into the wild world of anatomy with a side of crazy stories from my bizarre life. Let's explore what makes you, you.
And I'm Kashia Reyna, your co-host, keeping it 100 and making sure Doc doesn't get lost in his wild tales. I'm locked and loaded with my phone to fact check and break down the nerdy stuff so y'all can vibe with the science. What's flowing today, Doc?
Oh, Kashia, we're letting it flow with the orientation of the human body, because when it comes to anatomy, we're all about that steady stream of knowledge. This one's for you college anatomy students out there, so grab your notebooks, because we're diving deep into how we map this glorious meat machine. Let's start with the anatomical position, the universal starting line for describing the body. Picture a person standing erect, feet together, eyes forward, palms facing anteriorly, thumbs pointed away from the body. It's like Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, arms spread, looking like he's ready to drop a Renaissance fitness vlog. I had this Vitruvian Man poster in my old lab, Kashia, and I swear he was flexing for the gram, judging my coffee-stained lab coat. Or it's like the great Throdini's Wheel of Death act, you know, that circus stunt where they strap a guy to a spinning wheel, dodging knives, except we're not dodging blades. Just setting a standard pose so we can talk anatomy without spinning in circles.
Vitruvian Man on the gram? Doc, he'd be racking up likes with that symmetry. Wheel of Death? That's wild. So, anatomical position's a standard pose. Stand tall, feet together, eyes forward, palms out, thumbs wide. Why is that the go-to for anatomy class?
You nailed it. It's the baseline, so we're all speaking the same anatomical language. Imagine trying to describe where your heart is if everyone's posing differently. One student's slouching, another's doing a TikTok dance. The anatomical position, you know, keeps it consistent. Like telling everyone, stand like Vitruvian Man, no goofy moves. It's critical for dissections, diagrams, or even MRI scans. Like when I was teaching my first anatomy class, I had students practice it in pairs, checking each other's stance. One kid kept turning his palms backward, and I was like, bro, you're not auditioning for Throdini's Wheel. We laughed, but it stuck. They aced their lab practical.
No Throdini auditions? Doc, you're strict. So this pose is like the class syllabus for body mapping. What's next?
Let's break the body into its two big divisions, the axial region and the appendicular region. These are the fundamental splits, like dividing your study notes into main topics and subtopics. The axial region, from Latin axis, meaning axle, is the core, head, neck, and trunk, including the chest, abdomen, and pelvis. It's the body's main highway, the central pillar holding you upright. The appendicular region, from Latin appendere, meaning to hang on, is the limbs, your arms and legs dangling off the core, like accessories on a keychain. And think of the axial region as the chassis of a car, solid and central, while the appendicular region's the wheels and spoilers, letting you move and groove. I used to draw this for my students as a stick figure named Axial Al with big appendicular arms ready to high-five the class. One lecture, a student snuck up and added a cowboy hat to Al on the whiteboard. I left it up all semester, called it Axial Al's Western Adventure. My TA said my drawing was a crime against art, but the class loved it. They still talk about it on X.
Axial Al with a cowboy hat? Your classroom's a whole vibe. So axial's the head and trunk, appendicular's the limbs. Why those names? What's the logic?
Great question. The names reflect their roles. Axial's the central axis, the body's structural backbone. Appendicular's the add-ons, like limbs hanging off for movement. Axial comes from Latin axis, like the axle of a wheel, keeping everything centered. Appendicular's from appendere, to hang on, because arms and legs are like appendages tacked onto the core. It's functional. Axial houses vital organs, brain, heart, lungs, while appendicular gives you mobility, like grabbing snacks or running from deadlines. When I was a grad student, I'd quiz myself on these terms while organizing lab samples, muttering axial appendicular like a mantra. Helped me ace my exams, but my lab mates thought I was losing it.
Muttering anatomy terms? Doc, you were deep in the nerd zone. So axial's the core, appendicular's the movers. How do we navigate this body map?
That's where directional terms come in, the GPS for anatomy, super important for you students. So take notes. These terms help us pinpoint locations, like saying the heart's medial to the lungs. Here's the lineup. Superior means toward the head, from Latin superus, above, or cranial, from Greek cranian. Skull, your forehead's superior to your chin. Inferior is toward the feet, from Latin inferus, below. Your knees are inferior to your hips. Medial is toward the body's midline, from Latin medius, middle. Your nose is medial to your ears. Laterals away from the midline, from Latin latus, side. Your shoulders are lateral to your spine. Proximals closer to the trunk, from Latin proximus, meaning nearest. Your elbow is proximal to your wrist. Distals farther away, from Latin distare, to stand apart. Your fingers are distal to your elbow. Anterior or ventral means front, from Latin ante, before, or venter belly. Your chest is interior to your spine. Posterior or dorsal is back, from Latin post, behind, or dorsum, back. Your shoulder blades are posterior to your ribs. Things get funky with the head, and this takes me to a story from my grad school days in Mississippi, researching top minnows in the swamps. I was studying fundalus, these scrappy little fish, for genetic markers, wading through knee-deep, murky water with a net, chasing their shiny scales under cypress trees. My bug spray failing, so the mosquitoes were treating me like an all-you-can-eat buffet. One day, I'm out there for hours, totally zoned in, processing top minnows for my project, which meant I was on the shore clipping tails and pickling fish for a morphometric experiment I was planning. Suddenly, my buddy Nate yells, "Flan, you trying to be gator chow?" I look up, and 10 feet away is an alligator, just chilling like a horror movie villain. He's my heart's pounding. I nearly drop my net, but that gator never moved a muscle. Like, I wasn't worth the effort. I walked away, but I was shaking for hours. But it got me thinking about body orientation. Fish like top minnows have a clear setup. Rostrals, the mouth, from Latin rostrum, meaning beak. Caudals, the tail, from Latin cauda, which just literally means tail. Dorsals, the back fin. Ventrals, the belly. Humans share this chordate plan, but standing upright twists it. Our sound in our head bends forward, so rostrals, the face. Think nose forward. Caudals, the back of the skull. For the body, dorsals, the back, top, when standing. Ventrals, the belly, bottom. It's like we're fish that stood up and said, let's make anatomy complicated.
An alligator 10 feet away? Doc, you were starring in Swamp Survivor. So fish and humans share this rostral, caudal, dorsal, ventral plan, but we tweaked it by standing upright? Break that down for us students.
You got it. Chordates, fish, humans, even that lazy gator, have a tube within a tube body plan. In fish, rostral caudal runs head to tail. Dorsal ventral is back to belly, simple as a straight line. Humans, by standing upright, bend that line. Superior cranial aligns with head up. Inferior caudal with feet down, but rostral caudal shifts to front back in the head, while dorsal ventral flips to top bottom in the body. It's why we say cranial for brainward, but rostral for noseward. I used to practice these terms on my fish samples, labeling their fins to match human anatomy. Nate caught me talking to a top minnow once, like, okay, little guy, show me your dorsal side. He never let me live it down.
Talking to fish? Doc, you're a whole mood. So these terms are like our anatomy GPS. How do we slice this body map for study?
That's where planes and sections come in, the ways we cut the body to peek inside. Think of it like slicing a pizza to see the toppings. There are three main planes, and these are gold for your lab practicals, students. The frontal or coronal plane, from Greek coroni, crown, splits the body front to back, like slicing a sandwich to show the layers. Imagine cutting Vitruvian Man to separate his chest from his spine. You'd see heart, lungs, ribs. The transverse or horizontal plane, from Latin transversus, across, cuts side to side, like chopping a log into discs. It's great for seeing cross sections like the intestines or spinal cord. The sagittal plane, say sagittal, from Latin sagitta, arrow, splits left from right. A mid-sagittal cut goes down the midline, splitting nose, navel, spine evenly. A parasagittal cuts off-center, like slicing a bit to the left. I love the body plan analogy here. Humans are like a donut. The inner tube, or a donut hole, is the digestive tract from mouth to exit. The outer tube is the integument, your skin. The bread between is the organs, muscles, bones. You know, I drew this donut model for a class, Keshia, and a student shouted, "So we're just fancy donuts?" The room lost it, and I had to admit they weren't wrong. I still use that analogy, but now I bring actual donuts to class. Makes the lecture a hit.
Fancy donuts? Yo, Doc, I'm never eating a donut the same way again. So coronal, transverse, sagittal are like cutting the donut different ways to see the filling?
Exactly. Each plane shows different anatomy, like choosing how to slice your donut to reveal the jelly or cream. I once tried demoing this with a real donut in lab, but my students ate it before I could cut it sagittally. Total chaos, but they aced the planes quiz. Now let's dive into body cavities and membranes, the protected spaces where organs chill. This is crucial for understanding how the body organizes its goods. The dorsal body cavity, from Latin dorsum, back, splits into two. The cranial cavity, housing the brain, Greek cranium, skull, and the vertebral cavity, cradling the spinal cord, running through the vertebrae. The ventral body cavity, from Latin venter, belly, divides into the thoracic cavity in the chest and the abdominopelvic cavity from belly to pelvis. The thoracic cavity's got three parts, two lateral pleural cavities, each hugging a lung, Greek pleura, side, and the mediastinum, from Greek mesos, middle. A central band with the heart, esophagus, trachea, and big vessels. The abdominopelvic cavity splits into the abdominal cavity, stomach, liver, intestines, and the pelvic cavity, bladder, reproductive organs. These are lined by the peritoneal cavity, a fluid-filled space with the peritoneum, a serous membrane. Now, for serous cavities, picture this fist and balloon model, perfect for you students to visualize. Imagine your fist is an organ, like the heart or lung, punching into a balloon. The balloon's outer layer, stuck to the body wall, is the parietal membrane, Greek for wall. The inner layer wrapping your fist is the visceral membrane, Latin viscera, organs. The fluid between them, like serous fluid, reduces friction, so organs slide smoothly, like in the pleural cavities for lungs or pericardial cavity for the heart. I used to demo this in class with a real balloon, Keshia. One time I got too excited, punched the balloon too hard, and it popped mid-lecture. The front row screamed, thinking it was part of the demo, and I had to play it cool. Like, that's what happens when your heart's too pumped. Took weeks to live that down, but the students never forgot serous membranes.
Balloon pop? Doc, you're a classroom hazard. So, dorsal's brain and spine, ventral's chest and belly, and serous cavities are like a slippery balloon hug for organs? Break down that peritoneal cavity for us.
You're on it. The peritoneal cavity is a special serous cavity in the abdominopelvic region, lined by the peritoneum. The parietal peritoneum sticks to the abdominal wall, while the visceral peritoneum wraps organs like the stomach or intestines. Fluid between them keeps things slick, so your guts don't stick when you twist or bend. Now, some organs, like the kidneys, are retroperitoneal, behind the peritoneum, not in the cavity. Remember our retrofashion talk? I once tried explaining this to a study group using a water balloon, but it leaked all over my notes. My students called it the peritoneal flood, and I had to rewrite my lecture slides from memory. Keshia, ever have a demo go that wrong?
Peritoneal flood? Yo, Doc, you're a walking science disaster. So the peritoneal cavity is like a fluid cushion for belly organs, and retroperitoneal's the backstage crew? Any stats on these cavities for us nerds?
Love the backstage vibe. Let me think. Does the peritoneal cavity hold like 50 milliliters of fluid? Keshia, can you fact check that?
On it. Okay. The peritoneal cavity normally holds about 5,100 milliliters of serous fluid in healthy adults, just enough to keep things slippery without sloshing. Nailed it, Doc.
Whew. All right, let's tie this together. The anatomical position, stand like Vitruvian Man, sets the stage. Axial and appendicular regions split the body into core and limbs. Directional terms like superior, medial, rostral, guide us like a map, planes, coronal, transverse. Sagittal, slice the body for study, and cavities like dorsal and ventral protect organs with serous membranes, keeping it smooth. I used to quiz my students by having them point to spots on their body, medial, distal, cranial, while standing in anatomical position. One kid pointed to his nose for caudal, and I was like, bro, unless your face is a tail, try again. We laughed, but he got it right on the exam.
Pointing at his nose for caudal? That's gold. So this is like the ultimate cheat sheet for anatomy class. Pose, regions, directions, planes, cavities. Any final tips for acing this, Doc?
Oh, Keshia, let's wrap this like a perfectly sliced sagittal section. Clean and crisp. I'm thinking back to that donut analogy. Because the body's orientation is like mapping the ultimate pastry. Your body's a masterpiece. Axial core, appendicular limbs, directional terms is your GPS, planes for slicing, and cavities like VIP suites for organs. It's like the body saying, I'm a donut with a PhD, ready to crush your anatomy exams. I once brought donuts to a final review session, labeled them axial and appendicular with icing. Students ate the appendicular ones first, said the limbs were tastier. Keep studying those terms, stay curious, and don't go chasing top minnows near alligators like I did in Mississippi. Y'all are gonna ace this course.
A PhD donut? Doc, this sounds like gourmet science. That's the body's blueprint. Axial trunks, appendicular limbs, cavities like VIP suites.
Catch you all next time for more Flanatomy hacks.